Help. I need somebody. Help. Not just anybody. Help. You know I need someone. Won't you please, please help me? So go the words to the Beatles' hit single, Help. It is a bright, upbeat, fast-paced tune, but the story behind the song is not as happy as it sounds. In an interview after the song was released, John Lennon and Paul McCartney both confessed that the song was actually a cry for help, born out of a time of deep insecurity, depression, and fear amid the dizzying heights of Beatlemania. They felt overwhelmed. They needed a good friend to help them get their feet back on the ground, as the song goes. Now, we all know the feeling, don't we? We all need help navigating the ups and downs of life. But from where will our help come? Where do you go for help? If you have a Bible, please turn with me to Psalm 121. You can find that on page 516 of that black chair Bible in front of you, page 516. Psalm 121 is a brief but beautiful psalm written to encourage weary pilgrims as they face the many dangers and uncertainties that threaten to undo us on the journey of life. If you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling anxious, if you feel like you might need a little help this morning, well, Psalm 121 is for you. Here's what it says. A song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Well, here's what I think is the main idea of this psalm, the main claim that this psalm is making on our lives this morning, the main thing that God wants to get across to us today from Psalm 121. God will protect you every step of the way home. God will protect you every step of the way home. If I was going to boil it down even more, give you that main idea in three words, it would be this. God's got you. God has got you. He has got you every step of the way home. That's what Psalm 121 is trying to get across to us, trying to get into our hearts today. And it does that in two ways. First, by showing us where our help comes from. That's verses 1 to 2. And then by showing us how God helps us. He helps us by protecting us. That's verses 3 to 8. So, 2 points to the sermon this morning. Point number one, your all-powerful help. Your all-powerful help. That's what we will see in verses 1 to 2. The psalm superscript tells us that this was a song of ascents, which marks this psalm off as a song of pilgrimage. It has to do with a journey. God had instructed Israel to hold a festival for him 3 times a year in Jerusalem. So 3 times a year, the Israelites would have to travel to the temple in Jerusalem to celebrate these festivals. And these journeys to Jerusalem, they were no walk in the park. They were dangerous. Pilgrims had to contend with the scorching heat of the sun during the day and the bitter cold at night. They had to walk narrow trails along steep cliffs. They could encounter wild animals and robbers along the way. Danger was lurking around every corner. And this psalm was written to instill confidence, to boost the confidence of God's people that they weren't alone on this journey. Help was available to them. And this is why the psalmist starts the psalm the way he does in verse 1. I lift up my eyes to the hills. And where does my help come from? It's not initially clear if he's lifting his eyes to the mountains because he's fearful or because he's hopeful. But either way, he knows he needs help for the journey ahead. And not just any kind of help is going to do. He needs a particular kind of help. I need protection. I need strength. I need a help I can depend on. Where will I find these things? And he answers his own question in verse 2. Look at verse 2. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Here that this psalmist is singing to his own heart to remind it that his best hope, his greatest help is in the Lord. Lord is the name of Israel's faithful, covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. The Lord was the God who led Abram out of the land of Ur and into the promised land. The Lord was the one who kept Jacob safe on his many journeys. The Lord, the great I am, was the God who brought Israel out of slavery in Egypt, who parted the waters of the Red Sea, who fed the people in the wilderness, who provided water from the rock, who led them safely back into the promised land. The Lord was a living help, a committed help, a no-going-back kind of help. He was a help you could count on in times of trouble, a help weary pilgrims could lean on when they faced uncertainty. The pilgrim of Psalm 121, he then expands on God's name by identifying the Lord as the maker of heaven and earth. This was a major statement of faith in the psalmist's day. Ancient cultures surrounding Israel believed that there were many gods who each controlled different parts of the created order. There was a god of the sea, a different god of the desert, a different god of the mountains, a different god of the rivers, and so on. And as the Israelites made their journey, they were going to have to traverse all these different kinds of terrains. And which god was going to protect them? Well, this pilgrim does not look to the puny pretend gods that others looked to. No, this pilgrim, he looks to only one God. He looks to the one who holds the whole world in his hands, the God of the universe, the maker of heaven and earth and everything in between. That's where his help comes from. You know, our eyes are far too often lifted on the wrong thing. We give our attention, our energy, our hearts over to our anxieties, our worries, our fears, the things that concern us on earth. And whether these things are real or perceived, they're known or unknown, these fears are what fill our line of sight. They're all we can see on the horizon. Sometimes they're all we can think about. They consume us. Psalm 121 is teaching us what to do when that happens. It's teaching us where to put our eyes when we're faced with difficulty, where to look for help in trying times. When you are faced with difficulty, when you're faced with uncertainty and anxiety, and I promise you will be faced with these things, where do you look for help? When trouble walks through the door, where do you look for help? Where does your gaze tend to go? Do you look for help by escaping into the latest Netflix show? Do you look for help in medication, in some work, a relationship, alcohol, some pleasure, other people, money, some hobby? Do you look for help by trying to gain control over the situation? Do you look for help in your own strength? Notice where the psalmist in 121 looks. Look at where he puts his eyes. He lifts his eyes towards the mountains, but his help does not come from the mountains. He's looking beyond the mountains. His help comes from the one who made the mountains and who sits enthroned upon them. Brothers and sisters, when trouble walks through our door, when it walks through your door this week, we need to lift our eyes from created things and onto the uncreated one. We need to get our gaze off the ground and onto God. We need to stop looking down and start looking up. We will not find help from the hard road ahead by looking down at this world. We won't find help in people or things or in circumstances going perfectly or in a life free of trouble. No, our help comes from something so much better, so much stronger, someone so much bigger. See, the psalmist right here is helping to put all of our problems and fears, real as they may be, he's putting them into perspective. When God doesn't fill our line of sight, then our problems and the uncertainty of this life, they seem too big for us to handle. They become bigger than they actually are. They look daunting. They look insurmountable. They overwhelm us. But when the creator of heaven and earth, when he's the one who fills the frame, those fears shrink down to their actual size. They lose their power over us. They become rather puny. They almost become laughable, like a little ant trying to talk trash to a lion. The dangers we face in this life, they are no match for our God. A big God is on our side. Our help comes from the Lord, the living God, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who hung the moon and the stars, the one who spoke the world into existence, the one who holds the oceans in the palm of his hand. That is the one who holds you in the palm of his hand. That's who your helper is. That's where our eyes need to be. No greater God, no greater help. And brothers and sisters, if that's true, if everything I've just said about God is true, then why would we ever doubt his ability to help us? Is it not because our gaze is too low? If our eyes are fixed on our fears and worries, then our hearts will be filled with doubts and questions. But when our gaze is lifted up, then our hearts will follow. Our hearts will be lifted up also. As our eyes go, so go our hearts. God knows this. He knows this world is filled with countless dangers that will try to throw us off course. That's why God doesn't make us walk this road alone. He is with us. He's near to us. He's next to us. He's helping us. He's protecting us. But he's also made us to walk this road with one another, together. You know, one of the reasons that the Lord has brought you into the family of Highlands Baptist Church is so that you might help one another get your eyes off of your fears and worries and onto the Lord who stands above all of them. This is the job of church membership. This is how we help one another make it home to heaven. We heard it earlier in the service from Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. Your job is to remind one another where our help comes from. This is what our time together on Sunday mornings ought to help us do. Every Sunday morning, as we fill this room, we bring all kinds of fears and worries with us. Questions and doubts fill our minds. They trouble our hearts and they cloud our gaze. Is there enough grace for a sinner like me? Is my marriage going to make it this week? Does God care about me? Has he forgotten me? Is he my help? Will he help me? Am I alone in this? Even now, right now, pain and suffering, doubt and fear are in this room, filling the people in the pew right next to you. You know what the remedy is for this? You know what we all need right now? It is not to be entertained It is not to escape our problems. It's not for me to stand up here and to give you some motivational pep talk. It's not to sing songs that make you feel better about yourself for a little while. No, what you and I need right now is to behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Nothing else, nobody else is going to do the trick. This is why our services should be filled with so much scripture and prayer. It's why we should sing songs that teach us deep truths about our God. And it's why we should sing these songs in such a way that help our hearts to engage with those truths. It's why the sermon should sit at the center of the service. And it's why it should get the most airtime. Not because the preacher is so important. I am not that important. It's because the word that the preacher preaches declares where we can find our help, the help that we all so desperately need. All of this, all of what we're doing today should help us get our eyes up, to help us lift our gaze on God, to get our eyes off of ourselves and onto the one who made us and saved us. That's the context of this psalm. Remember that this is a psalm that the Israelites would sing going to and from the temple each year. Corporate worship, then, is a lifting of our gaze. It helps us get our eyes up. We are easily distracted. We are easily lulled to sleep by our idols of comfort and self-sufficiency. We are prone to forget that Christ really is the sure and steady anchor in the fury of every storm. You know, most of you in this room know that our transition, my family's transition to Colorado, was filled with lots of unexpected hurdles. A flooded rental house, a flat tire on the U-Haul, a broken down van. I could keep going, but I'll spare you. And you know what I've needed during all of this? I've needed to come to church and to sit under the preaching of God's word the last few weeks. I've needed to hear you sing songs today like Jesus Strong and Kind and A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Because if I'm honest, there have been times I've been tempted over the last few weeks through those trials to believe God's not those things. I have needed you, my new brothers and sisters in Christ, to come alongside me and to help me lift my eyes off of all of my fears and onto the God who has got me safe and secure in the palm of his hand. I need this. You need this. We all need God's help to make it through this dangerous journey. And we can rest assured that our God, the maker of heaven and earth, will indeed help us. If we are his, if we belong to him, if our eyes are on him, then even when our gaze is weak and fearful, the Lord will help us. But how? How exactly does the Lord help us when trouble walks through the door? Well, he helps us by protecting us. That brings us to our second point. Point number two, your ever-keeping protection. Your ever-keeping protection. Look at verse 3. Beginning in verse 3, the psalmist identifies the Lord in a new way. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Six times in verses 3 to 8, the word keep or keeper shows up. Other translations use the word protects. So the psalmist clearly wants us to know that the Lord can and will protect us on our dangerous journey. In fact, the center of the psalm comes in the first half of verse 5. Look at verse 5. The Lord is your keeper. 58 syllables precede that phrase and 58 follow it. So this right here, this is the white hot center of the psalm. This is the point. This is the bullseye. We are not kept by our own strength, by our own wisdom, by our own power or control. No, we are kept by the Lord. It is the Lord who protects us. And notice how intensely personal all of this is. The psalmist uses 8 personal pronouns in these verses, all of them singular, specific to each individual pilgrim who's making the journey. So this is a deeply personal kind of keeping that the Lord provides here. It is for you. The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, is your personal protection if you're one of his people. But his protection isn't just for you. It's for all his covenant people. That's what the psalmist stresses in verse 4 when he calls the Lord the one who keeps Israel. If you are one of God's people, then you have got God's protection. His presence sheltering all of us, the strong and the weak, with the same level of care and security. And look at the quality of his protection. Look at verses 3 to 4. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The image here is one of a shepherd who never sleeps. God is depicted as a vigilant shepherd who's guiding this pilgrim over dangerous mountains. And the path to and from Jerusalem was a steep trail descending and ascending over rocky terrain. Every step came with the danger of slipping, of twisting your ankle, bruising your knees, sliding down steep cliffs. But this pilgrim has the assurance that God won't let him fall. He is walking a dangerous path, no doubt, but with the Lord as his shepherd, he's in safe hands. This is a reminder to us that God will not let the faith of his people falter. When God is your protector, when your faith is in him, your feet are always on solid ground. And we may at times feel like our legs are about to give out, like a toddler wobbling through their very first steps. But we can rest assured that our Heavenly Father's strong hand will steady us. God's got you. So long as your faith is in him, he will not let you fall. And the reason he won't let us fall is because he does not slumber or sleep. He doesn't get drowsy. He doesn't doze off on the job. He's not the kind of shepherd who needs to take a break. He doesn't nod off or need a nap. He's never exhausted by the constant supervision that you and I require. He doesn't put in a vacation request or need some time to recharge his batteries. God has no bedtime. He does not need a cup of coffee or an energy drink to keep him going. No, our God is always alert. He is always awake. Our God is both watchful and wakeful. His eyes are always open and always on his people. Now, sometimes things happen in our lives that make us wonder where God is. We face some trial or setback in our lives. We're involved in an accident. We get sick. You know, our health declines. We lose a loved one. We wonder if God's there. You know, is he aware of what's going on? Maybe he's fallen asleep at the wheel. You know, Israel had that same experience too. But Psalm 121 assures us that our God never slumbers or sleeps. Which means that you do not have to lose a wink of sleep when the one who never sleeps is watching over you. You know, we may not know why bad things happen to us, but we can, as Christians, rest easy knowing that the Lord is not caught off guard by them. Because the Lord, our good shepherd, is always keeping watch over his flock. But God's protection doesn't stop there. It goes even further. Look at verses 5 to 6. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Here the image shifts from a watchful shepherd to an impenetrable shelter. When the psalmist says that God is your shade on your right hand, it's his way of saying that God's got your back. He is watching your six. He's your own personal bodyguard who shields you from every danger on every side. The road to Jerusalem was not only rocky and rough terrain, it was also completely exposed to the elements. Pilgrims would have to travel under the blistering rays of the sun. Shade was scarce, and too much sun exposure could kill you. And night was no better. In those days, people thought that the moon's rays were just as dangerous as the sun. They believed the terrors of the night could drive a person mad, that the moon could turn you into a lunatic, which comes from the Latin word luna, which means moon, so you can see the connection there. And nighttime in the desert could also be very cold. But whether it was the heat of the day or the terrors of the night, the Lord promised to shelter his people from every conceivable form of danger. He protects against the known and the unknown, the seen and the unseen, the real and the perceived, the most overpowering and the most insidious, day and night, and everything in between. God is a shelter right by your side, 24/7, 365 days a year, round-the-clock protection. But that's not all. His protection goes even further. Look at verse 7. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The journey of life exposes us to all kinds of evils and harm. But Psalm 121, verse 7, reminds us that none of them are beyond God's sheltering care. As one commentator puts it, to be kept from all harm, all evil, does not imply a cushioned life, but a well-armed one. Think of Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The pilgrim in Psalm 121, he expects the dark valley. He's anticipating evil and harm coming his way. But with God as his personal escort, he knows he can face it. Notice how the verb tense changes from the present to the future here. The pilgrim is looking to his future, not with fear, but with confidence. No matter what evil he might face, no matter what harm comes his way, he knows that his life is secure in God's hands. Even in death, he knows God's protection is guaranteed. Think of what Jesus told his disciples in Luke 21 when he warns them that persecution and harm are coming their way. Luke 21, verse 16, you will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. Some of you will be put to death, but not a hair of your head will perish. Hold on. How does that work exactly? How do you gain your life when you are being killed? What is Jesus talking about here? What is the psalmist talking about? How does the Lord keep our lives even in death? Well, we get our answer in verse 8. Look at verse 8, Psalm 121, verse 8. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Forevermore. There it is. God's protection plan does not just last the span of your life on earth. It goes on forever. Not just from now to the end of time, but beyond, into a time without end, into eternity. Once God becomes your keeper, he is always your keeper. Not just earthly protection. That is not the only kind of protection God provides. Eternal protection, eternal life. That's what you get when the Lord is your protector. protector. Protection right now and forevermore. That is the kind of comprehensive protection plan that God provides. And we know that the Father, we know that this God will provide this kind of protection for you and me because he provided this kind of protection for his Son, Jesus Christ. In his journey through life, Jesus knew exactly what it meant to be kept by the Father. He experienced, lived out the promises of Psalm 121 every single step of the way. Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd who lays down his life to protect his sheep. To keep his sheep safe, Jesus was willing to die for us. He was willing to put himself in harm's way. He was willing to walk the same road of suffering on his way to Jerusalem, obeying his Father all the way to that cross, entrusting himself fully to the Father's ever-keeping protection as he suffered and as he died for you and me. And you know what happened on the other side of that? Help came from the Lord. Even in death, the Father protected and preserved his Son's life. Because a dead shepherd is no good for us. A dead shepherd cannot keep us, cannot protect us. But remember, our shepherd doesn't slumber or sleep. Our shepherd lays down his life in order to take it up again. And that is exactly what Jesus did. Easter Sunday, 2,000 years ago, our shepherd, Jesus Christ, walked out of his grave alive in order to keep his sheep safe. And not only did Jesus rise from the dead to secure eternal life for us, he also promised to be with us every single step of the way. Matthew 28, verse 20. Remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In him, united to Christ by faith, brothers and sisters, we are kept forever by our Heavenly Father. His presence is with us, helping us by protecting us every step of the way home. And nothing can ever stop or break through his protection. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. If Christ is your ever-keeping protection, God's got you. He's got you now and forever. Nothing can finally harm you, not even death itself. Friend, if you are here today and you're not a Christian, I want you to know how glad I am that you are here today. This psalm is God's gracious invitation to you. It's inviting you to have Christ as your shepherd and your shield. Those in this room walking this road with Christ as their eternal protection, we are headed for a life of beauty and blessing that has no end. Will you join the journey? Friend, don't walk this road. Don't try to face the troubles of this life, these dark valleys, without Christ as your shepherd. Do not put yourself in that kind of eternal danger. Friend, turn from your sin. Put your faith in Christ. Follow him as your good shepherd. Brothers and sisters, the road to heaven, I hate to break it to you, is not an easy one. It is a hard road home, but it is oh so worth it. One day, you will be glad you made it. One day, if you endure, your feet will cross that river and you and I will be home, finally and forever. Heaven is on the horizon. The new heavens, the new earth, they are just over the mountain. Revelation 21, 1-4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." In that happy land, the Lamb who is seated on the throne will shelter us with his presence. We will hunger and thirst no more. The sun will not strike us, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb is at the center of the throne, who is at the center of the throne. He will be our shepherd, and he will guide us to springs of living water. Until that day, keep putting one foot in front of the other. Remember where your help comes from. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. His grace has brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. God's got you every step of the way.